So this morning we just started the conference.
Mamawa uno tinangweamba.
And we just try to be on the same, on a level playing field. And so I believe that this afternoon we are ready. Please push your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't let the sima in your stomach make you sleep. Because we have been on the runway this afternoon, we want to take off. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I believe that God will be with us. The topic is exciting. The rise of mega churches. And now we have our vision, or we are getting our vision and our desire for the mega church.
And
just as Pastor reminded us, so many things go into that mega church coming to pass. And for today and for this afternoon, I want to talk about some things that concern you, the pastor, you, the individual who is desiring a mega church. Because there are different aspects. For instance, we could begin to discuss the church and how the church should prepare to become a mega church. That's also a point. We can also discuss how to bring up your leaders to be leaders of a mega church. So there are so many different dimensions. But this afternoon I want to talk to you about you. The things that concern you. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, we started already by talking about our burning desire, our vision. The pastor of the church is the main driver of the church growth. And so even though there are so many aspects, much is going to fall on you. Let us go into our scriptures. Let's start with Ephesians 6 verse
10.
Just the first part of it, I want to show you something. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in order to stand and to build a mega church, or to have something significant to do in the mega church, you need strength.
Amen.
You need to build a certain capacity. Let's continue with another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13.
1 Corinthians 6 verse 13.
And it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong.
Dikirani, chilimikani, mchikulupirilo. Zikaritseni amuna, limbikani, zano zonse, zishitike mchikondi.
I would like to take this same scripture in another version, the Amplified, the Classic Amplified version. Because it adds some understanding, and it says, be alert and on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Let me jump over the portion in brackets and continue. Act like men. And be courageous. Grow in strength. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you seeing something there? Mega churches are not for weaklings. It's not for people who don't have faith. It's not for people who I don't know if I believe or I believe. No. It's for people who are ready to be alert. He says, be alert. And on your guard. I want you to ask your neighbor, are you alert? Are you alert? Many times when you come to a conference, you are not sure if the people are alert or are sleeping. He says, be alert. And on your guard. Be on your guard. And this afternoon, I want to say to you, be alert. Be on your guard. Why? Because you don't know which part of what is happening this afternoon is your portion. Amen.
Amen.
In the midst of all the things that are being said, which one is your next step? Or which one is your next thing? I notice that many times when the Lord is sending you your message for the next thing, you are not alert because we have an enemy. That's the moment you say, oh, I have to go to the washroom. It's not a crime to go to the washroom. But sometimes it's the tool the enemy is using. Sometimes somebody just, you know, starts talking to you. Definitely when we're in a conference, you know, there's a, you know, we talk a little to each other. But when you are not alert, he will use that to make you miss your minute. He will use it to make you miss the thing you should have caught. And that's why the scripture says, be alert. On your guard. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Please tell your neighbor that for the next 2 hours, we are not chatting, we're not talking. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it is not only in reference to the conference, but even in your ministry life. The Lord can be leading you into something. And when you are not alert in your spirit, when you are not on your guard in your spirit, you can miss it. Then he says, stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in your faith. What you say you believe, stand on it and believe. The Bible says in the book of James that a double-minded man receives nothing from the
Lord.
So if you are here and you are saying, oh, I don't know, maybe it will work, maybe it won't work. Then I can tell you that it won't work. Why? Because a double-minded man receives nothing. But when you say, I believe, oh yes, I believe, you will begin to see that God can begin to move you step by step. Then he goes on to say, act like men. Act like men. There are many ladies who say, oh, I'm a lady. The scripture says, act like men. And there are many men who act like women. You You didn't expect that one, eh? Because I don't know if you're seeing the same thing here, but I keep on meeting people who say, oh, I don't know what it will it work. I mean, I need some. I don't know how to explain it. A certain sort of weakness, you know. You are very quiet again. Anyway, never mind. Are you in the house? I thought you said you were called. I thought you said God has called you. And if God has called you, stand up like a man of God and expect God to do something through you and stop saying, I don't know, maybe it cannot be. Stand firm. That's why. Show yourself a man.
Hey.
The church is quiet. There was a time in the life of my church. The building was small. Usually in our church, we come together to put resources together to expand it. But it was not my turn. And my church was full. It is also in an area with a lot of students. And students don't like discomfort. So when you put canopies outside, they don't want to sit outside. They want to sit inside. But inside, capacity was 350 maximum. And it was not my turn for the expansion to happen. And one day as I was praying, I said, no, God, if you have called me, you can expand this building. So I called my spiritual father. I said, Daddy, please give me the permission to do the expansion. I cannot wait. And he said, go ahead. I thank God I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Because the land my church is on is actually land that is on water. So we put some money together and we started to dig. And as we dug, pillar after pillar, water will come up, we have to pump it out. I'm talking to somebody. And we started. We needed to put up 22 pillars. Oh, we'll put number one. Then we'll put number two. Then I'll rejoice. Two pillars up. Number three. Number four. Oh, four pillars up. You are very quiet. Don't worry. Are you in the house? I said we cannot cry. It's not crying that will move the hand of God. We cannot be worried. It is not worry that will bring the hand of God. But I know the scripture. And the scripture says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have them. Believe. Oh, yes. And we began to dig pillar after pillar.
Hey,
there were some days, I remember at a point, it began to rain. Between the water from the top and the water from the bottom. I said, oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come.
But
I have to tell you something. Within a few months, we're able to link it up, build foundation down, and the building began.
Oh, yes.
We extended the church. And now we had to roof because something was going to go on the top. And I said, oh God, you started this project. You are going to help us. You are going to help us. And suddenly, somebody sent us money. It had never happened in my ministry before. It had never happened, not at that dimension. Enough to do the roof over there. Hallelujah. Quit crying and quit sending letters to some pastors you think have money. Bishop Felix, you were in the conference. They said you should bless us, please. I'm building my church. Stop it.
Pastor Felix, munali mkonferensi.
And stand like a man. And believe the word of God. And trust God to meet you. Because you are the next mega church pastor on the way. Amen. I am aware that I'm speaking to some people who are not pastors. And so I came to inform you, if you are not a pastor, you still need to carry the vision. Why? Because if you are the leader of the choir and the choir is just 5 people, where we have our mega church, what are you going to do? I come to stand there with your 5 people. I was just asking you a question. If you are the leader of the prayer warriors and there are just 3 of you, do you think that your prayer of 3 people can carry the mega church? If you are the one who is the head of the children's department and currently you are taking care of 40 children, what are you going to do when the children alone are
600?
Or push your neighbor and say, look, you better get a mega vision that goes on with a mega church. Everything has got to grow. Are you there? Yeah. And for it to grow, you need to have the vision.
Hey.
Hello?
Hi.
So you cannot be sleepy and saying that, oh, this part is only for pastors. No. That's why your pastor brought you here. So that you hear your portion. So that you hear your part. Pastor, so my church, I have 5 choirs. And one day I just called the young man who leads, in fact, the youngest leader leads the largest choir.
Yeah.
And I called him and I said to him that, look, my father has changed the name of his choir to 1,000 Voices Choir. I came to inform you that we used to be 100 Voices Choir, so I'm bringing back that name, 100 Voices, but you cannot be 100 Voices and 40 of you are on the stage. I'll give you to the end of the month. 100 voices. After all, when you have 100 voices, 25 can be singing like cockroaches, it doesn't matter. The other 20, all you need, you just need a line of people with good voices. You give them microphones. The rest, oh, it doesn't matter how they sound. Hey, baby. Oh, it doesn't matter.
But you know,
oh, yes. I came to tell you something. When I gave this young man this vision, they were 60. Last Sunday, I saw something. I said, what is that? It was a table. He has brought the table. Then he has commandeered all his 60 people. They were standing around. They have made iced tea. Iced tea. Iced tea. And then, as church was empty and people are passing. Hello? Would you like to have some iced tea? We are recruiting people for the choir. Oh, I have a drink for you. Wow. I have a drink. Hey. The guy is almost at the 100, though. Yeah. And that's why I'm talking to you who is falling asleep, who is the pastor of the prayer warriors with your 3 prayer warriors. You better wake up and find out how those 3 are going to become 500. The prayer in a mega church is not like the one you are doing right now. Yeah. Are you here? Right now, 1 all night, Friday is okay. When you have a mega church, it is all night on Monday, all night on Tuesday, all night on Wednesday, all night on Thursday, all night on Friday, all night on Saturday. The only day without an all night is that Sunday night. It cannot happen with a few people. It's not possible. It's not possible. It can only work when that, the leader of the prayer, you are now a mega church ministry. So as your pastor has picked mega church vision, you also have picked mega prayer vision. So that the prayer can carry on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 And that is why this scripture is for all of us. Be alert. Be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Act like men. Be courageous. And grow in strength. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This afternoon I'm going to be talking to you about steps to becoming a mega church pastor.
And
whatever you are in the church, where I'm saying pastor, put that thing there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you are, you know, I've been talking to the diff, you are in the worship team. So steps to a mega church's working worship team. You know, put your own there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The steps are not in any particular order.
My steps you see,
but I still think that the first one is the first one. The first step is the first one.
Komano step yoyambilira ndiyo yamba.
And this is the principle of a vessel change. The principle of a vessel change. It takes a certain vessel to carry something. For example, even when a Coke bottle is empty, we know it's a Coke bottle. When a Coke bottle is empty, you need me. Even when a Coke bottle is empty, you know that it's a Coke bottle. Amen.
Amen.
When you are going to buy engine oil, is it sold in Coke bottle?
No.
It also has its bottle. In other words,
manjira ina,
the vessel is also important.
Chotengela ndicho funikira sokwambiri.
The vessel is also important.
Chotengela ndicho funikira kwambiri.
And so before God can use us to build mega churches, he has to do something about our vessel.
Then Mulungu asana chite china chake pa ife kuti tikaindi church chachikulu akuenera achite kae china chake pa moyo wathu.
Because if you don't change your vessel, you cannot carry certain anointings.
Chifukwa ngati sunga sinthe chotengera chanu ndekuti simunga nyamule eso kudzodza kwina kwake.
And to have a mega church, you need the anointing of a mega church.
Ndekukhala ndi church chachikulu zikutanthauza kuti mukufunikira so kudzodza kwa kwa church yaikulu.
It cannot just fit.
Sizingangokwana.
Amen.
Amen.
Specific anointings are related to types of people, particular vessels. For instance, let us just take a look at the Bible. The prophet Elijah. What kind of vessel was that? This was somebody who was a type of person. We saw him challenging kings. We saw him rebuking religious leaders. A very dramatic, very dramatic person. Do you know that exactly the same things we see them in John the Baptist? Same kind of vessel. Same kind of vessel. If you do not have the calling of Elijah, when you come across a king who's doing the wrong thing, you say quiet and you go.
Yeah.
But to carry that anointing, you've got to be a different kind of person. Elijah was always walking around strange places. John the Baptist, the same. This nice dress you have worn to come to conference, Elijah cannot wear it all. You don't have Elijah's anointing. Camel skin. Animal skin. You and I, we've gone to eat, not Elijah. Low cost. Hello? He was okay. So when I'm feeling hungry, let me catch a few locusts. I don't know if he roasted them or he ate them like that. I'm talking about vessel change. Some of us, if our sima is not made in a certain way, we can't eat it. Hello? Pastor was asking me what sima is in Ghana. We call it banku. And they are different types. The people from one part of the country, when they make their banku, it is soft. Where I come from, the banku is hard. I said the banku is hard. So one time, one of my young ladies at home was making the banku. I told her that this banku, I can't eat it. It's not for me. It's for those of you who eat it. Elijah was not eating sima or banku. He was eating locusts. If you want that anointing, your vessel must change. You have to be able to leave your sima behind and look for some locust and eat it.
Hey.
I'm talking to some people this afternoon. A different kind of vessel. You have to be the kind of person who is bold enough to see and say. Many of us, we see, we don't say, we go and whisper. Later.
But Elijah
was a kind
person.
So also a mega church pastor. You cannot be a thief.
Sunga kalembapa.
And become a mega church pastor. Do you remember that Elijah had a certain servant? Elisha, he had a certain servant called Gehazi. When Naaman the Syrian came and said, I need healing, and he was healed, he wanted to give the prophet something. The prophet said, no, it's okay. Gehazi, his servant, was there.
Gehazi,
how can you let all this money go? How can you let it go? I cannot look. Let me go and find this money. And he called Naaman the Syrian and said, oh, my father has changed his mind. He said, I should come for something. It didn't end well for him. It didn't end well for him. You want Elijah's anointing. You have to be able to look at the money and let it go. I'm talking to some people tonight, this afternoon. You say you want to be a mega church pastor. You cannot be stealing the offering. You cannot mix God's money and your money. No. You cannot mix it. Hey. Maybe in your church right now, every Sunday, after they take the offering, then they count, they say, put it in my boot. Hey! Mega church pastor. It cannot work, oh. It cannot work. I want you to push your neighbor, tell your neighbor, it cannot work like that.
No.
To be a mega church pastor, you need to understand that God's money is his money. Are you in the church? And that's why there has to be a vessel change. The reason why John the Baptist could carry Elijah's anointing was that he was like that. He was like Elijah. Being close to the anointing doesn't mean that you get the anointing. Gehazi was close, he got nothing. And some of you who are around a man of God, there's nothing. Why? Because God has to work on you and some things are needed. Maybe you are a very educated pastor. And to be a mega church pastor, God will have to teach you how to love and accept uneducated people.
And
how to love them. Maybe you are somebody God has called, you don't have any education at all. And he's going to have to change you. Because in your mega church, there are going to be educated people also. Every time I get to this point, I am reminded of one of our mega church pastors in Accra. He went to school only up to class
3.
He always says, I have no classmates. He says, he has no classmate. Because he didn't go to school. But I tell you, I said, I tell you. You see, when I was young, he was a young pastor at the time. Couldn't really speak English. His English was broken English. But God transformed that vessel. Today, I said today, when he goes to America, is he... He preaches in America. Oh, yes. He is somebody that people like Bishop T.D. Jakes know by name. And a white Paula White knows by name. He has gone to the White House. He moved. Oh, yeah. When you see him, you will never think. You will not even remember that he has only gone to class 3. Hey. One day, we had, it was during a conference in Accra. And my husband and myself, we were coming down some stairs, and we met him walking with Bishop Doug. And Bishop Doug introduced us. At that time, we were pastors of the northern churches, the north of Tamale, of Ghana. And when he said, let me pray for you.
Hey,
when he lifted his hands and began to talk about walking in the corridors of heaven. Hey, look, we were flat. I'm talking to somebody here. When you see him walking and coming, authority is coming. Nobody has. I'm talking about a vessel change. When he talks, the people in government listen. I'm saying it because you may be here listening to me. And you may be saying, oh, my father was a poor man. I grew up from a poor house. I'm coming from a certain village somewhere in the backside of Malawi. So all that they are saying is not for me. I came to announce to you today that God is changing your vessel.
Oh, yes.
It has almost nothing to do with your background. It's up to you. And whether you submit yourself to his will or not. Amen.
Amen.
Are you ready to start learning what you don't know? Because some of us, when we don't know something, we run away. I said, when we don't know something, we run away. We say, oh, after all, it was not even nice. Rather than learning. Are you in the church? Some of you, maybe you say that, look, the only food I like is sima. God is about to teach you how to drink tea. You
are
saying that, oh, you know, this kind of things, tea and bread, I don't like such things. But look, where you are going, they will give you tea. And you have to open your mouth and drink it. And say thank you. Hello. He's changing your vessel so that you can survive there.
Hey.
I'm talking to some people. As I'm talking to some people. Hey. Oh, you may be saying, this place, that place is too hot. I can't go there. He will change your vessel. You will survive in the heat.
Yeah.
He's changing. Changing your vessel. Are you in the church? Is something happening to you? Amen.
Amen.
Many changes are needed. Please take your seat. Your character has to change. Your moral life may have to change. Am I talking to some people? Yeah. Because this is one of the reasons why some people who God has destined to be mega church leaders, that's why they don't have a mega church. And one of the things that I want to address this afternoon is laziness. You cannot be a lazy person. I'm sorry.
I said
you cannot be a lazy person. Hey, are you there? Some of us, you finish preaching on Sunday. That's all, you are tired. Hello? You preach twice, lead one prayer meeting, that's all. It cannot be you. I said it cannot be. It cannot be. When was the last time you went to wait on God? When was the last? That you left where you are, went somewhere to just be there with God. A mega church pastor is a tired pastor. Some of you are too rested. You are too rested.
Hey. When
you travel, after traveling to your branch church, you've gone to minister for 3 days, then you come back, you say for 2 weeks you have to rest. Hey, it cannot be, Jesus was a mega church pastor. Crowds followed him everywhere he went. Crowds followed him. I want to show you something. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. I will show you the end of the story first, then we'll come back to the beginning. In Mark chapter 4, let's go to from verse 35 to 38.
Mark 4, verse 35 to 38.
The same day when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?"
Ndipo dzuwa lomwelo pakufika madzulo ananena kwa iwo, "Tiwolokele tsidya lina." Ndipo posiya khamulo anantenga apite nawo, monga momwe anali mungalawa. Ndipo panali ngalawa zina pamadzi ndi iye. Ndipo panauka na mondo wankulu wa mphepo, ndi mafunde anagavila mungalawa, motelo kuti ngalawa inayamba kudzala. Ndipo iye mwini anali kuntsingiro na gona tulo pantsamilo. Ndipo adamutsa iye nanena kwa iye, "Mphunzitsi, kodi simusamala kuti titayika ife?"
Later. Why was Jesus asleep? I'm sure some people who like sleeping, they are saying, "He was sleeping." But let us go to the beginning of the chapter. He began from verse 1. He began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said to them his doctrine. Mark 4, 1 and 2.
Ndipo anayamba kuphunzitsa pambali panyanja. Ndipo anasonkhana kwa iye khamla likulukulu, kotelo kuti analowa iye mngalawa, nakhala mnyanja. Ndipo khamu lonse linakhala pantunda mbali mwanyanja. Ndipo anawaphunzitsa zinthu zambiri mafanizo, nanena nawo mchiphunzitso chake. Amen.
Do you know that he continued with this talking until verse 33? And verse 33 of chapter 4 says, "And with many such parables he spoke the word."
Mukuziwa kuti anapitilizabe kuyankhula mawu amene wampakana ku Marko 4 verse 33.
From verse 1 all the way down, he had been talking. Preaching, teaching. And then now he said, "Let's travel to the other side." He was going to continue ministering. That's why he was now asleep.
Pastor,
you are preaching 2 hours on Sunday. Sorry, maybe some of the churches 1.5 hours on Sunday.
1.5 hour
on Sunday.
1 hour yoka Sunday.
Then you say you are tired. 1 hour on Tuesday or Wednesday.
1 hour.
You say you are tired.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Some 1.5 hours, 2 hours prayer. How can you say you are tired? Hey, are you in the house? We come to your church 12 o'clock, you have finished, you have closed, you have locked the doors, everybody has gone home. You're going to enjoy Sunday lunch with your family. And maybe if there's some football, you might watch some football. Hey! Please, oh, mega church pastor, it cannot happen. It cannot happen. Why am I saying it cannot happen? The people you are pastoring and the people who are helping you to pastor, when are they available? When are they available? Is it not Saturday, Sunday, and in the evenings? How can Sunday be your relaxation day? Oh, I thank God I don't know any pastor here apart from Pastor Israel. I don't know anybody, so he cannot be angry with me. I don't know your church. But I'm just asking, how can Sunday be your resting day? When the sheep are available, you are resting. I think you are not so happy with my message now. Vessel change. Sunday has to change. It's time to work. I say it's time to work. It's time to work. Sunday. After church, all the people who didn't come to church, they must be visited. What are you doing going home? When you finish visiting them, you and all your leaders, you come back to church. It's now training time. It's now talking time, speaking. That 1 hour you have been doing, it is not enough for a mega church. Please. Are you in the church? When are you counseling your people? When do you talk to them one-on-one? Please, you are a pastor, not a president. It's president when he finishes, he goes to sit in the car and then he goes home. But a pastor is a shepherd, and a shepherd must smell of the sheep. Oh yes, I said a pastor is a shepherd, and a shepherd must smell of sheep. How come your people cannot reach you? How come your people cannot see you? It's not an easy one tonight, today. I'm just asking you a question. Because you say after you preach 2 hours, you are tired. After you have preached 2 hours, drink water, drink water. We are going on visitation. One visit from you. I said one visit from you to the house of your sheep. They will never be the same again. They will never be the same again. One day, a man in the Bible had a marital problem. His wife had given him apple to eat. And after eating the apple, they had lost their status in life. They had lost their job. They had lost their house. They had lost everything. And they were just walking around. And the Bible says God the Father paid them a visit. I said God the Father paid them a visit. afraid, so we are hiding.
Let me resolve it.
Let me sort it out. Snake, where are you? From today, you shall walk on your stomach. Everybody will dislike you. Especially the woman. You too, you hate her. She'll bruise your head. You bruise his heel. Finish. Adam, what did you say? You said what? The woman I gave you. Quit that nonsense there. By the sweat of your brow from today, you eat bread. Because of you, the earth is cursed. You, that woman who went and misled that man. You too. Come. I have multiplied your pain in childbirth. From today, your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Okay, matter close. Now come, let me sew dresses for you. Catch a few monkeys over there. Get their skin for me. And God was sewing. By the time God was leaving the house, he had given them jobs. He had given them clothing. He had given them another purpose for life. He had shown them the way to go. Man of God, what are you doing in your house on Sunday? Your children need to hear from you. Go into the house. Sort out the issues.
And
when you are done, after sorting out the issues, lift up your anointed hand and bless the people in the house and pray for the people in the house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By the time you get home from on Sunday, it must be Monday. Hello?
Amen.
Do you still want to be a mega church pastor? Oh yes, I'm talking to somebody. I told you that Jesus was a mega church pastor. You know, anytime I'm in trouble, I go to the Bible. Jesus prayed long hours. Will you look at just one example? Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night. All night. He's not talking about all night with your church on his own.
Hey.
Jesus went about preaching and teaching. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35.
Matthew 9 verse 35.
It says Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus preached long hours. Do you know that the Sermon on the Mount was from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7? It's just one sermon. How come you have allowed those people in your church to intimidate you? Now you preach only 30 minutes. And before you can preach 1 hour, it takes some hours of work to put together that sermon. And yet Jesus preached Matthew 5 to Matthew
7.
Yeah. The feeding of the 5,000 was because his preaching was long. He preached until he could see that the people were hungry. I said he preached until he could see that the people were hungry. Jesus healed people. He worked miracles. Oh yes. Your reference is Matthew 14, verse 14 and 15.
Matthew 14, verse 14, paga 15.
Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came and said, "This is a desert." He had been at it the whole day. I said he had been at it the whole day.
Healing.
Ministering. Are you asking your neighbor whether they have changed their mind? Do you still want to be a mega church pastor? Have you changed your mind? Hey! some of us is only sleeping, eating and sleeping. You are praying, you are sleeping. You are listening to a message, you are sleeping. Hey, are you in the house? We are continuing with the Bible. What about Paul?
Paulo Brand.
As for Paul,
Paulo,
I found just the shortest place to put it together. 2 Corinthians 11.
2 Corinthians 11.
I'm reading from verse 23.
23.
Are they ministers of Christ? He was the one asking the question. Are they ministers? When he looked at what was going on, are they ministers? Then he said, I speak like a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
Kodi atumiki a Kristu ndila nkula monga moyaruka maka maka ine muzivutiso mochuruka ndende mochuruka mikwingwilima mosawerengeka muifa kawili kawili kwa Yuda ndinala ndila kasanu mikwingwilima makumi anai kupelewera umodzi. Katatu ndinamenyedwa ndi ndodo. Kamodzi ndinaponyedwa miyala. Katatu ndinataika posweka chombo. Ndinakhala mkuya siku limodzi, usana ndi usiku. Paulero hey! Kawili kawili. Mopsha mwake mwantsinje. Mopsha mwake mwa Holanda. Mopsha mwake modzera kwa mitundu. Mopsha mudzi. Mopsha mchipululu, mopsha mnyanja, mopsha mwabale onyenga, mchifutitso ndi mcholemetsa, madikiriro kawili kawili, mnjala ndi ludzu, masalo achakudya kawili kawili, mchisanu ndi umaliseche, popanda zakunjazo pali chosindikiza tsiku ndi tsiku, chola ba chalabadilo cha mipingo yonse. Amen.
Amen. Hey! You, when you travel from here to here, you say, I cannot. You have started branches, you can't visit them. Because you are tired. I'm talking to some people, though. Please, don't be angry. Just look and smile. Don't be angry with...
Hey!
Look at Paul. Look at what he's saying. That's a mega church pastor. He had congregations everywhere. Yeah. What we are reading, it is his letters to his churches. The Corinthian church, Ephesians church, Philippians church, Galatians church.
Yeah.
These are the people he was talking to. The Corinthian church. All were his people. And he visited, he went place to place traveling. You are here. You want to be mega church pastor, you say you cannot travel. Is the question now? Say, oh, I cannot move, you know, when I move. We have to move. Mega church pastor, you have to move. This year, Bishop Doug has been having crusades everywhere around. That's a mega church pastor. And he went to the north of Madagascar. My children are missionaries in Madagascar. And one of them is in the north of Madagascar. To get to the town Bishop Doug was going to, 3 days on the road.
3 days ungadaenda panseo.
In fact, I don't know if I should say 3 days on the road because there was no road.
3 days panseo chifukulibeso seo.
There was no road. Then his brother, he's on the east of the country. He had to go to the south first, and then they start driving to come up. But that's because a mega church pastor has gone there. Yeah. They took our grandchildren with them. So every day we would, you know, when they stop at 6 p.m., then they come online. And then we ask, how are you people doing? So by the end of the second day, we say, oh, these children, oh, they must be tired. Oh, my goodness. We were writing on our family page. Then our sons came on the page. They said, ah, what are you people saying? But it is what you did to us when we were children. We said, we? We were nicer to you than that. You know, but what I'm trying to say to you is that they had to grow that way to do what they have to do. Are you in the house? Yeah. You say you want to be a mega church pastor. Your family is in it with you. Sometimes you go with them together. Oh, the children are feeling sleepy. Don't worry. If the children are feeling, just give them a place in the church. They will sleep there. Yeah. Give them a place to sleep there. Because you are a mega church pastor. This is what you do. And it affects everybody. Your family as well. Hey. Please ask your neighbor, is your vessel changing? Is your vessel changing? You know, when you move around like that and God is using you, things are not always perfect. Many times when you see a man of God, woman of God, minister, you don't know what has happened at the back. It looks as if life is perfect. It's not perfect at all. Are you in the house? First, I'm remembering my first journey to Malawi. I made the mistake of coming by Kenya Airways. I didn't know at the time. Later on, my people told me that they had stopped using them, but I didn't know. Because of Kenya Airways things, I wore the same dress on Sunday. I wore the same dress on Monday. And I landed in Lilongwe. Where was the first place we went? Kasungu. And I traveled to Kuzungu the next morning, and I preached the whole day in the same dress. It's not by choice. But that is what it was needed. You cannot now say, Pastor, cancel it, you know, my things are not. Cancel what?
Hey,
I'm talking to some people now, because if you don't eat at a certain time, you don't sleep at a certain time, you don't have all the clothes you want to wear at a certain time, you don't have the particular shoe you want to wear, you say, I cannot. I'm talking to somebody. The last time I went to find some school to preach in, when we got there, I'd come to share the gospel with some young people. The hall was full. The lights were on vacation. I said, the lights were on vacation. When they came to work on it, then the light at the back will come. Then when it goes, the one on the front will come. But we were there to preach, and we preached.
And then
we preached. Mega church pastor. You see, I'm looking for words and I'm trying to be polite, but I have to say that we like our body too much. I said we like our body too much. It has to change. It has to change. It has to change. Otherwise, you can't do the work. Amen.
Amen.
I watch my father when he has Give Thyself Holy Conference. He starts the conference 7 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes the late evening, 9 p.m., he's in the same shirt. Not because he's lacking clothes. He has not had time to change. Because other people have come. You know. So when we have gone on break, he's ministering to different groups of people. They have come to see him. He's spoken to this group, spoken to that one, spoken. Why? That is what it takes as a mega church pastor. And sometimes he has been preaching from 7:30 in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought he would go and take a rest. No. Push your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you still want to be a mega church pastor? Push the neighbor on the other side. Tell your neighbor, it's a fight. It's a fight, and the first fight is with yourself. I said it's a fight, and the first fight is with yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My father, when he's training us, then he will tell us, he says, ladies, he says every lady say we like our hair, we are always, he said, buy a wig, have two or three. So that you won't say, because of my hair I couldn't go. Or because of my hair I was late, buy a wig. Cover it and go. Amen. Hallelujah. Change your vessel. Change your vessel. You like sleeping? I have a scripture for you. I believe it's Proverbs 4. Find it for me. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the arms to rest. So shall thy poverty come as one that troubleth and want like an armed man. Proverbs 6:10, please, can you? Proverbs 6:10. Oh, but who is there? Proverbs 6:10. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. Continue. Who is there? So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Some of us, the reason why we are poor in sheep, it's because we have been sleeping, resting, when we should have been working. I'm talking to somebody. Some Sunday, some Saturday nights, you should just have the names of people in front of you and be laboring over them in prayer. It will make a difference. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is your vessel changing?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're talking about becoming a mega church pastor. You see, something must also change in us. Pastor, you must learn to begin to talk for a long time. Because what God has given to us are words. Words, that's the most important thing. That's why Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, the words that I speak unto you, he said, they are spirits and they are life.
And
if we really believe that they are life, we will keep speaking. Amen.
Amen.
Some days I get home on Sunday, I say, my goodness, I've been talking for 14 hours. Services, meetings, whatever, when I put it all together.
Words.
The Bible says that God has ordained by the foolishness of preaching that men will be saved. That's what he decided. That's how it is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is something changing? The next one. So first we're talking about vessel change. We're talking about our steps on our way to becoming mega church pastors. Step number two. Servanthood. 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 It's amazing that in these times, we see a lot of people who are coming in to the ministry as big shots. They arrive with the title and with everything. But there's only one job that starts from the top.
Is
the job of grave digging. Grave digging is the only job you start at the top. All other jobs you start at the bottom and come. Amen.
Amen.
And so also it is in the house of God that we begin as servants. And the Bible gives us example after example after example. Let's look at a few examples very quickly. Joshua was a servant of Moses. And in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, we meet the scripture. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Some translations say Moses' servant.
Kapolo wa Mose. Ndipo atafa Mose ntumiki wa Yehova, Yehova anati kwa Yoshua, mwana wa Nuni, nyamata wa Mose.
Elisha was a servant of Elijah.
Elisa anali kapolo, anali nyamata wa Elia.
In 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 11, we read, here is Elisha the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. Just from the last sentence there. The last sentence.
Kutiti mfusile Yehova kwa iye, ndipo wina wanyamata afumu ya Israeli anayankanati. Elisa mwana wa Safati alipano. Ndipo uja anatira madzi manja a Elia. Amen.
Peter, James, John, they were servants of Jesus.
Petulo, Yakobo, Yohane, anali wonsewa akapolo a Yesu.
That's why in John chapter 15 and verse 15.
Tukuona mu Yohane 15.
He says, henceforth I call you not servants.
Kuchokera pano sindikutchulaniso kukhala akapolo.
For the servant knoweth not what his Lord was doing. And you may be asking, servants in what way? Please continue translating. Servants in what way? And you see that the disciples were ushers, they were bodyguards, they were errand boys, they were just working with Jesus.
Siti chaso inu akapolo chifukwa akapolo sadziwa chimene ambuye wake achiita koma ndacha inu abwezi chifukwa zose zimene ndazimva kwa atate wanga ndakudziwitsani.
Amen.
Amen.
And so the position of a servant is a humbling one.
Nde udindo wakapolo ndu udindo odzichepetsa.
But it is part of our journey to become a mega church pastor.
Koma ndi mbali modzi ya ulendo wathu okakhala mbusa wa chalichi yaikulu.
It is part of how God brings us up.
Ndi mbali modzi amene Mulungu amatidzutsira.
Hello.
Amen.
It's not about just going to Bible school, finishing Bible school, coming with your diploma. God bless you. Congratulations on your diploma. Now that you have come, put the diploma down and get to serving.
Ndizabwino nditu kuti timapita ku school ku Bible school timakapunzira timakakhala ndi diploma koma tikafika pa ntchito ya Mulungu timazisiya zonse zijapasi ndikukhala kapolo kuyamba kutumikira.
I don't know if you are seeing the same thing here, but we are seeing some people who arrive from Bible school. They say, I've come with my certificate. I want you to appoint me as a pastor in your church.
Ndakonera kuti ayi ine ndabwera ndachokera ku Bible school ndabwera ndi ma certificate yawa ndifuna kuti ineyo mundike kukhala mbusa mchali chimwana.
Pastor, please don't appoint them. They have just arrived. If you appoint them, they will give you hell. They have received a part of the training. They are now coming for the other part. Hello? The principle is not new. It is the same principle that is used in the training of doctors. 6 years, 7 years, they are in school. Going into lectures, going into the ward, doing various things. I don't know how it is here in Malawi, but in Ghana, medical school is hell. Hard work. When they finish,
akamaliza,
they hold a very nice induction service for them, an induction ceremony for them.
Graduate, amapita sopano kukakhazikika.
And one would have thought that they are now going to become nice, powerful doctors. It's not like that, oh. After the graduation party, put down your coat. Put away your certificate. Arrive at the hospital. When you start working on Monday, you will close after 36 hours. On duty. 36 hours straight.
36 hours unbroken. Maola 36 was a puma.
Then you go and sleep. Then
mapita kwa gona
for 8 or so hours.
Kwa maola 80.
And then you come back for your 12-hour shift.
Kena kwa mabwela kuzagwira so
nchito maola. I'm talking to some people in the house.
Ndikuyankhula kwa anthu mnyumba
ino. I have a son who is a medical doctor.
Ndili naye mwana wanga amene.
And when he finished training, Bishop, I told him that now that you are finished,
well,
you thought school was hell. Now welcome. You are now going to hell. And it continues like that. In Ghana for 2 years of your life. For 2 years. Before you are now a doctor.
Hmm.
I said before, if you don't go through it, you cannot be licensed as a doctor.
No.
I'm talking to some people. My son told me that some of the ladies dodge part of it. They escape part of it. Because after being in school for 6 or 7 years, they want to get married. So they get married, and then they get married, and then they want to have their first child, and so they have some maternity leave in the middle of it,
And
he said, by the time they come back, they are unskilled labor. Ever since he told me that, when I go to a hospital and there's a lady doctor, I say, I'll see you later. I'm going to come back. Because what you should have learned, he said, you see, when you learn it in your first year, everybody understands you are learning. So the senior nurses will teach you what to do. The senior doctors will teach you what to do. He says, when you come back in your second year, it's a bit shameful. So you're not able to say, I don't know how to do this procedure. So you didn't get it. So you end up not knowing. That's how it is with some of us who have gone to the Bible school. When you came back, you say you have arrived. You say you have arrived. Pastor, give me a congregation and watch me preach.
Hey,
nobody is giving you no congregation. Go to that corner and start your own church. And understand what it is to start the church with two people and grow from two to five. And grow from 5 to 10. You understand what it is to have gone on a 20-day fast. And when you finish fasting and you come back to the church, there are fewer people in the church than before you started your fast. Oh. Yeah. When you come out of Bible school, put down that certificate. Roll up your sleeves and let's get to work. I'm talking to some people, I don't know who. Amen.
Amen.
That is what it means. You see, sometimes God will put you in a place and he says, just serve. Come with the mind to serve. Pastor, what will you ask me to do? Whatever you say, I'll do it. Then he sends you to go and clean the toilets.
You
say, ah. This pastor, he doesn't like me. How can I come as a graduate of the foremost Bible school? You say, I should go and clean the toilet. I think you didn't see that Elisha was pouring water. I want to ask you, who fetched the water that Elisha poured? I don't think you understood my question. I said, who fetched the water that Elisha poured on the hands of Elijah? Was it not Elisha who fetched the water? So why are you complaining? Go to that toilet and decide that for as long as I'm head of this toilet, the church is about to experience what clean toilets are. Because I am in charge here. Oh yes. Decide that it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. This is what has been put in my hands. Arrive in church on Saturday and clean it. And as you are cleaning, be praying, Lord, may everyone who comes to this place, may they have an experience with you. They may think they are coming to download, Lord, but as they are downloading, may you be uploading. Lord, as they come, if they are not believers, let something shake in them. I can tell you something. Satan will want you out of there so fast. He will actually suggest to pastor next week that we promote you from there. Amen.
Amen.
There are some things that only serving can teach you.
Yeah.
After you have gone to clean the toilets, when God blesses you with your own church, You will understand how the people who clean your toilets feel. When you see them, compassion is what will be in your heart. You will remember how when it was your job, nobody thanked you. And you'll be a mega church pastor. And you call a meeting of all the cleaners of your toilets. And you say, God bless you guys. And you will bless them. And you will anoint them. When you are even looking for people to give things, you will remember them.
Why?
Because you've been a servant yourself. Oh yes, I'm talking to some people. When you have been a watchman, a security man watching the gates, and God eventually takes you from there, you will not be passing by without even greeting the security man. Some of us, when we pass, you know, we have even forgotten. That's a human being right there. I used to have a security guard in my house. He was an old man. And I would watch us. My young people would come and I said, Baba, you know, Baba is a title, father, Baba. I said, Baba, any young man who comes here, young woman comes here, doesn't greet you, they should go back. They should go back. And I would tell my young people, I said, you don't respect him. Because he's an old man, he looks like he doesn't have much. He could be your father. When you have not served, when you have not served, you won't understand what I'm talking about. You
want
to go to the top? In God's house, you go down first. And that's why I'm going to give you 13 signs of a servant. And I want you to think of yourself back in your church and put yourself against these signs and see whether you are a servant or not. The first one. A servant has a master.
Kapolo amakhala ndi bwana wake.
A servant has a master.
Kapolo amakhala ndi bwana wake.
Please take us to Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6.
Malachi 1 verse
6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear?
Mwana alemekeza atate wake, ndi nyamata ambuye wake. Ngati ine tsono ndine atate, ulikuti ulemuwanga, ngati ine ndine ambuye. Kundiopa kulikuti, ati Yehova wamakamu kwa inu ansembe, akupeputa dzina langa, ndipo mukuti tapeputa dzina lanu motani. Amen.
You are asking, am I a servant? If you are a servant, who is your master? Pastor, me, I'm not a servant. I'm a son. Hey, before you become a son, you are a servant. I'm talking to somebody now. Number two. A servant is at the beck and call of his master.
Kapolo amakhala kuti nthawi zonse amakhala chelu ya kuchita chimene bwana wakeyo akufuna kuti achite.
Again, let's go to scripture. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 9.
Matthew 8 verse 9.
For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it.
Pakuti ineso ndili munthu wakuvela ulamulilo ndili nao asilikali akundivela ine ndipo ndinena kwa uyu muka na muka ndi kwa wina idza nadza ndi kwa kapolo wanga chita ichi na chita.
Amen.
The question I want to ask you today is, who can call you?
Fuso limene ndofuna ndikufuseni lero ndilo kuti ndi nani anakhoza kuita nani.
Some of us belong to groups of churches, or let's call them, I don't know if I should call it denominations, what would you call it? Nobody can call you. When your head pastor says, we have a meeting, they say, oh pastor, you know my situation, you know that I cannot come. You are not a servant, you are a boss. I
said,
you're not a servant, you're a boss. But if you are a servant, you can be called. I said, you can be called. And when you are called, you answer. And you go. I don't know how it is in Malawi, but I know in Ghana we are seeing more and more people who cannot be called. I can see you are very quiet. So as you are thinking. I remember one time, a young pastor who was under me, because we are arranged, every bishop has a council, and the council is made up of a number of churches. And this young man was asked to go and to go to another church, go to a branch church. He said, oh, mommy, I can't go. I can't go. So I went back to the senior bishop who sent me. I said, he can't come. Says you go. The bishop said, okay, I'm doing something else. Then I came back. When I came back to my council, then the young man came to see me and he said, so please, where will you give me to go? I said, nowhere. Nowhere. If senior is calling you, sending you, say you can't go. Junior like me, what can I say? I left him hanging there for about 7 months. Why? Because you cannot be in a place and you cannot be called. Then why are you part of it? You are spoiling the church. Oh, pastor, you see, it's not that. When Pastor Issa said that we were going to have this program, you know, he knows that I work. He also works.
I said
he also works. Why did he not come and ask him, Pastor, what do you do to be here? So that
he'll
give you a little wisdom. How not to spoil your leave so you can take your leave at times like this.
Yeah.
Pastor, don't accept people who you cannot call.
You can't call them.
Release them.
You can't call them.
They are just a problem coming. I said they are just a problem. You may think you are being kind, but I tell you they are a problem coming. The next one. Some of you are looking at me very shocked, but don't worry. You see, because when you, that person you cannot call, if you put him in a place where he has authority, he's not going to be able to call the people under him. So his mess begins to spread. Look at the scripture that we are reading. The man said, I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. Anybody who you say come, he does not come. He also cannot call anybody else. It's just a matter of time. When you are building a church, a solid church of cement, he will be building a zana mat. I don't know what zana mat is in. He'll be building some zana mat house. Because since he could not submit to authority, he has no authority over anybody. You cannot serve, nobody will also serve you. Let me just deal with something. Let me see if I can deal with something. Again, I don't know if you have those things here, so allow me. I'm just preaching as they are. You know, we have these people in our churches. I don't worry, I have them too. Their idea of serving, their idea is face value serving. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's face value. So they only want to do the part other people will see. So they'll be happy to collect your things and come into church. Because that one day they are seen. But when you are now sending them to do something that is not seen, then they don't want to go. One day, I was invited by a young man to preach in his church on a Sunday. I usually don't go so far on Sundays, but that day, I don't know, I felt that the Lord wanted me to go. So I went to his church. When I got there, this is a small church. I mean,
it would be just like here.
Three people opened my door. I'm not talking about a large church. I'm talking about a small church like this. Three people just to open the door. We came inside the church. I've forgotten how many guards were standing. How many? So like here as you're preaching, then there are some there. Nice, strong young men. So I've been invited. I finished preaching. After the preaching, went to the office. Then the young man, mommy, do you have anything to say? I said, I wonder if you can take it. What do I have to say? I wonder if you can take it. I asked him, I said, what are all these young, strong men doing?
Opening
doors. I said, have you no work to do? For them to do?
What are
they straight for? I tell you, Pastor, you should have seen how they were dressed there. Top to bottom. Please, I'm hoping you are understanding me right. Because there's a context in which it is needed.
But not
at this stage of ministry. When there's hard work to be done. So I later sent him a message to somebody. I said, those guys, send them all. Get them work to do. They should go and work. This dressing they are doing. You know, after you are finished chasing human beings, and you're coming to preach, you even forget your shoes. Yeah. Find some real work to do. Real work. I have one guy like that in my church. He used to be, what will you call him, Albert? He used to wait. In fact, all in all, he was just a frightening human being. He used to deal in this kind of fraud, those kind of things before the Lord saved him. In fact, the day he gave his life to Christ, when I saw him answering the altar call, I was looking for my quickest way to run away. Because I said, it was a night. I was having a service in the night. I gave the altar call. I saw this guy coming. And I remember thinking, I'm either going to be saying hallelujah in the next 2 minutes or I'm dead.
2 minutes.
And my eyes were trying to locate the nearest ashes. The ashes were far. I couldn't be sure if he was coming to be born again or what he was coming to
be.
Anyway, this young man gave his life to Christ. He gave his life to the Lord. He was born again. He joined the church. After a while, he began to follow me around. So I get to a place, he's there. He will open the door. He will make things work. Come and put things down. One day, I say, young man, it's really nice to be met. It's nice. But you know something? It's not what God... You can't use it in heaven as a passport. So I said to him, I said, you see that corner? Go and start a church. We had the experience of our lives. Look at this man with all his muscles. He was afraid to go and start a church. Hey! He couldn't go. Sunday after Sunday became a laughing matter. Oh, proper, I mean. We said, all this muscle, you are afraid of souls. We never knew. But I'm happy to tell you that he's doing well.
And how
he's pastoring some people and letting it work.
Amen.
Oh, he still comes around. That's for that when he has free time, he will be there. But he also has sheep. He also has people who he has brought to the Lord. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you a master or a servant? Which one are you? Most of us should be both. Or some of us should be both. Even though you are a master in your church, you are still somebody else's servant.
Yeah.
The next one. A servant is one who executes the command of another. In other words, somebody tells a servant what to do. There are some of us, nobody can tell you what to do. When you are told what to do, you change the instructions. But if you are really a servant, you do the command of another. Amen.
Amen.
Can your pastor depend on you? Can he send you? The next one, a servant cannot be inconvenienced by any job or task. You cannot be inconvenienced. You just go and do it.
Amen.
Amen. A servant does not see himself as equal to his master.
Kapolo, sama zona yeka kukala mlingo umozi ndi bwana wake.
There are some of you don't like them to see that this is your pastor. You want to show that we are all pastors. Oh, we are all classmates. Not so with Jesus. Even though he was there right from the beginning. Philippians 2:6 tells us that who being in the form of God thought it not robbery.
Philippians 4:6,
he put everything aside and he came. And the Bible says that is why God elevated him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A servant carries out the wishes of his master.
Kapolo amachita zokumba za bwana wake.
Titus 2:9 says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. To be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again.
Kapolo amachita zimene mbwana wake akufuna kuti achite.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The next one, a servant cannot be embarrassed by his job.
Kapolo sanga chitidwe manyazi ndi ntchito yake.
Again, Jesus is our best example.
Yesu ndi chitsanzo chathu chabwino.
We see him humbling himself in Philippians 2:8.
Tikumuona iye akudzichepetsa yekha kwa Philippians
2:8. As the Bible says, he humbled himself unto death upon the cross.
Ndipo Bible kunena kuti anadzichepetsa yekha mpaka na kufika pa ifa ya bantanda.
The most shameful way to die.
Njira yo ya manyazi yomwalilira.
But he did it.
Koma anachitabe.
Because he had taken upon himself.
Chifukwa anali kuti wadzitenga yekha.
The form of a servant.
Anali kuti wadzitenga yekha ngati kapolo.
A servant does menial jobs. A servant does menial jobs.
Kapolo amachita ntchito ngakhale imene ili yaing'ono.
Picking up crumbs, serving food, we find that in Jesus' disciples.
Kaya kumapelekela chakudya, kutolera tolera zinthu, timaziona zimenezo mwa aphunzira ake a Yesu.
In John chapter 6 and verse 12, after the feeding of how many thousand, Jesus told them, gather up the crumbs, gather up the fragments.
Yesu anawauza nthawi imene anadyetsa 5,000 aja kuti ikani pamodzi zinthu.
And I've already given you the example also of Elisha.
Ndakupatsaniso kale chitsanzo cha Elisa.
The next one, a servant promotes his master while he stays below.
Kapolo amamukweza bwana wake pamene iye akadali pasi.
In John chapter 3 and verse 30, John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Some of us are not able to promote our head.
But
when you are a servant, it is something that you must learn to do. It's something you must learn to do. A servant does not expect thanks or acknowledgement.
Kapolo samayembekezera kuti azizindikirika akachita chinthu.
Luke chapter 17 and verse 10 says.
Luke 17 verse 10.
So likewise ye, when you are done all things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do.
Chotero inuso mene mudachita zonsezi anakulamulirani nenani ife ndife akapolo opanda pake.
It cannot be that everything that is done, they have to be thank you. You have to thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Then you are not a servant. A servant ministers to his master of his substance. In Luke chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says that. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered to him of their substance. They ministered from what they had. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I wonder if you have been ministering to your pastor from what you have. And the last one, a servant has a reward. A servant has a reward. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse
9,
after humbling himself, after becoming a servant, the Bible says of Jesus that wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, you are a man of God, you are a woman of God, but you are in your time of serving. Serve until God moves you further. Serve until God himself rewards you. Because it is part of our road to becoming a mega church pastor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I said hallelujah.
Amen.
This afternoon we've done two things. What was the first one? A change of your vessel. And the second one, servanthood. I want us to rise up onto our feet and begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to talk to the Lord, to pray. Ask him what you need to change. What part of you needs to change? And if you have found that you are not a servant, you want to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. And begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray.